Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he concludes this study on the priority of love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Verse 10, but then when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So the gifts of the Spirit and all the gifts are going to stop when the perfect comes. And within the church, there's basically five different views on what it is that the perfect that comes. And the first view starts off that says, well, the perfect is the Bible. And I think these are people that are have an axe to grind on a theological position, trying to do away with tongues and the gift of the Spirit and do away with miracles. They say, well, when the Bible comes, we don't need this other stuff. And they say, Paul's prophesying that. When the Bible comes, that's the perfect thing. Then these other gifts are irrelevant because they're minor compared to the revelation of God as recorded in the Scripture. And that view came around, I think, when there was a resurgence within the Pentecostal church. There was other people that were saying, hey, this isn't right, and I needed to go to the Bible to find somewhere to prove that tongues wasn't for today. And I think they just, you know, came across this and said, ah, here's the passage. You know, not really looking at the context, not really looking at some of the issues. Now, the reason I don't think that is true is, first of all, it would have made no sense to the people that Paul wrote it to. They had one letter from Paul. They didn't know about a Bible. You know, the Bible is going to be put together, 66 books, and now all these other ones, you know, King James, New King James, New American, they didn't know any of that stuff was going to take place. It really wasn't until about 400 that the Bible was put together and then, you know, in its form that it is now. Second of all, as we looked at Joel chapter 2, the Bible says that these gifts are going to continue on up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The third aspect is that I think Paul gives us a time when these are going to stop in verse 12. If you notice, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, that's the timing at this point, then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. So there's coming a time, right now we see through this mirror dimly, and the Corinthians would have understood that because they had a trade of making mirrors in that community. They would hammer out metal and polish it real good, and then you would be able to see your reflection. Not like the mirrors we have, real crystal clear. You'd be able to see your image a little bit. And Paul's saying that's what it is like trying to understand God at this point. You see the reflection there, but you don't have all the details. But then, when we're face to face, when's that? That's when I see God in all of His glory. That's when I stand before the Lord, face to face with the Lord. Then I'll know everything, just as I am known. And at that point, there is no need for prophecy. There is no need for tongues. There is no need for any of the gifts, because I'm going to have all the information that I need. And I'm going to be complete. I'm going to be in a resurrected, glorified body that's like Jesus Christ. And all these issues are going to be set aside, abolished, unnecessary. And obviously that is not the Bible. We're not seeing God face to face right now through the Bible. I read the Bible and there's, well, I don't understand that. What about that? I don't fully know everything. Nobody does. I mean, think about it. When you get to heaven and you hear this phrase, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that, it's going to be settled. You're not going to be, well, why did I stub my toe when I was 3 years old? And, you know, and all these, that's what it's going to seem like compared to eternal glory. Do you think you're going to say, what, just a minute, I got a question for you? Do you think that's the, you're going to fully know everything, and you're going to be walking and leaping and praising God in eternity, seeing God face to face in all of His glory, and none of this stuff is going to even matter. So I think that's when the perfect is. Not the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's perfect, but that's not what's being described here. The second viewpoint is a pretty popular one, is the rapture of the church. Before the tribulation period, when the church gets raptured, there's no need for prophecy and the gifts. The problem is, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, you have two prophets that come and prophesy. So the gift of prophecy continues after the rapture. So that can't be the perfect. And some say, well, no, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's when these gifts are inoperative. But at the second coming, what the Lord does, He's going to set His kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. He's going to rule and reign. And there will be teaching done there. There will be ministering taking place. So I don't know if the gifts at that point would necessarily be inoperative or not necessary. I don't think that's true at all. There's still going to be a need for ministry and ministers during that time period. Another viewpoint, the fourth one, is that, well, what is taking place here, see this word perfect? Elsewhere in the Bible, it's translated mature. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, Paul uses the exact same word to describe maturing in Jesus Christ. And so there are people in the church today that'll say, well, what has happened is the gifts are temporary until the church comes to maturity. Now, they don't know when to put that, but eventually you don't need tongues, you don't need these gifts because your faith is strong enough to do without, you know, these words from God and everything else. Again, that's, I think, a position trying to stop or to do away with the gifts of the spirits. I don't know, as I look at the church today, I think we still need some help. Still need the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the early church, I want everything they had because they had the power of God working and they said multitudes were coming to the Lord. I want to see that continue to take place. I don't want to be at any disadvantage. So the church is not at a place of maturity, not needing the supernatural power of God. That's just kind of foolish. So what is it? Well, I don't think it's the second coming because, see this word perfect? It's a Greek word teleos, which is in the neuter form. Within Greek language, you have a masculine, a feminine, and a neuter. And to refer to Jesus Christ in the neuter form is very impersonal, and it doesn't seem to be the appropriate way to refer to a person. So I think what he's talking about here is not the second coming, but the eternal state, which will take place after the millennium. And when eternity comes in, the only thing that's going to be existing at that point that's here is love, and these other gifts are just going to pass away, and we're going to see God in all of his glory face to face, and we're going to fully know everything. So until then, I think these gifts are absolutely necessary for the body of Christ to function as the body of Christ, but they need to be used as Paul outlines in chapter 14, which we will start next week, of how these gifts should be used. What is the place for them in the body of Christ? And address the abuses that have taken place. But until then, I think they're necessary to build up our life. We need them and to be equipped and strengthened in everything God has for us. But in the eternal realm, there's no need for them. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There comes a point in all of our lives where you stop becoming a child and become a man. You put away childish things. You know, as a kid, I played with G.I. Joes. Now, if I was still playing with G.I. Joes, there'd be a problem, right? I've advanced to Buzz Lightyears. You know, those are the new things now. You put those things aside. In the Jewish culture, there was a marked event called the Bar Mitzvah, where a 12-year-old became a man instantly. It wasn't like this gradual in-between time adolescence that we have. At the Bar Mitzvah, that's what it means, the son of the law. They now became responsible to obey the law before God. And at that point, that person was considered a man, responsible before God. And I think that's what he's talking about. There's going to come this climactic event where these things that are childish compared to the eternal realm, not necessary. We're not going to need them. We're going to advance on into glory and be in that perfected state. I think that's what he described as we looked at in verse 12, that now we're seeing through a mirror dimly. But at that point, we're going to see God in all of his glory, and we'll know everything that we need to know. And everything, this life will be as if it didn't even exist. That's when your questions will be answered. Until then, we only know in part, and it's hard to understand the ways and the will of God. But whatever you find yourself, you still need to walk in love as a priority. That's what goes on to eternity. Verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These are three present. Faith, because we don't see everything that we have. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. When you're in heaven, you're going to see everything. God's going to be there. There's no need for faith. Hope is the anticipation of receiving what God's promised. We're going to have it all at that point. So those two are going to pass away. Those are important virtues of the Christian faith. Faith and hope. But they're going to stop. They're going to be unnecessary. But the greatest of these is love, or agape, that Greek word for love. And so Paul stretches this all out, all into eternity. The greatest of everything in the Christian faith boils down to love. It's not how much Bible knowledge you know. It's not the Christian experiences that you have. But love needs to be governing our entire life. That's what's eternal, that's what God values, and that's what we need to place the value on. I think the Lord makes this similar comparison of a person that would live their life just for this world, just for what this world has to offer. and they amass a fortune, or maybe they don't, but they live for pleasure, they live for money, and what happens when they die? They're put in that box just like everybody else, they're buried in the ground, and they bring nothing with them. And they've labored all their life for something that's temporary. And they miss out on eternity because they valued that which was temporary. And we could do that with good things in this life. Even the gifts, it could be so important to people as it was for this church. It's something good, but it's not something supreme. And we need to value love, that I would walk in love and respond to people in a loving and gracious way. And that would be the very nature, the very character that I possess. Because Paul says, hey, you could speak in tongues, but if you don't have love, you're like a noisy gong. And in context there, that was a gong that was used in pagan worship. He says, you're just like this other pagan guy worshiping over in the temple. There's no difference. If you don't have love there, there's nothing about you. And he says, if you don't have love, you are nothing. I mean, there's, as a believer, we're missing the whole boat if love's not at the heart. Now, the good news is that love is produced by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I can't produce this type of love in my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, my love is limited, but when God takes a hold of your life and he begins to bring his character into your life, it makes it possible.